impeachment inquiry says President Trump's comments could put his client in danger. The whistleblower's legal team expressing concerns in a letter to the acting director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire, citing the president's call last week for the person who gave the whistleblower information to be publicly identified. Meanwhile, Republican Representative Doug Collins, who sits on the House Intelligence Committee, says the complaint from that whistleblower is being mischaracterized.
When if you look at the actual whistleblower complaint, this is not about involving abuse of an intelligence community issue. This is not about what whistleblowers normally use for. This is really a disagreement over policy, a disagreement over what they thought the tone was in a phone call. And when you look at the transcript, it was not there.
He spoke on Fox, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyroot for Amp Fest 19. Amp Fest 19 is the most entertaining political event and Trump Fest of the year. For any conservative who wants to be empowered and entertained, or for any Trump superfan who wants to just have a blast, if that's you, head to the Trump Doral Hotel on October 10th to 12th in sizzling, sexy Miami, Florida. Headliner speakers at Amp Fest 19 include Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Dinesh D'Souza, Charlie Kirk of the Turning Point USA, Brandon Straka of the Walkaway Movement, and of course, yours truly, Wade Allyroot. I love that guy. But this is more than a traditional political event or Trump Love Fest. Amp Fest 19 features a Texas Hold'em poker tournament, golf tournament, comedy night, pool party, yacht party, fashion show, movie screening, Women for Trump social, and prayer breakfast hosted by Alveda King. To register for Amp Fest 19, just go to AmericanPriority.com. That's AmericanPriority.com. It all happens October 10th to 12th at the Trump Doral in sizzling, sexy Miami. I'll see you there. AmericanPriority.com.
Iran's foreign minister warning the United States it won't be able to finish any war it starts with Iran. During an interview with NBC's Meet the Press, Javad Zarif said U.S. intelligence agencies have launched a cyber war against Iran already. He warned the Trump administration against seeking a military solution to conflicts with Iranian-backed forces in the Middle East. Meanwhile, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia speaks to CBS News.
Nora O'Donnell asked Mohammed bin Salman about the gruesome murder of a Saudi journalist. The Saudi Crown Prince claims he's innocent and also responsible.
Did you order the murder of Jamal Khashoggi?
Absolutely not. This was a heinous crime, but I take full responsibility as a leader in Saudi Arabia.
That report from correspondent Wendy King. U.S. Senator Cory Booker staying in the Democratic presidential race. He had earlier threatened to withdraw if he didn't hit a major fundraising goal by the end of last week. This is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
SpaceX founder Elon Musk unveiling a new prototype of a spacecraft for private trips to the moon. He does so on the 11th anniversary of his company's first successful orbital launch of a rocket. More on the story from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The new Starship, called Mark 1, and a super heavy booster will send up to 100 people into space, then the moon, and ultimately to Mars. Also on display was Raptor, a full-flow, staged combustion rocket engine, which is powered by cryogenic methane and liquid oxygen. Musk hopes to reach Earth orbit with a Starship prototype in about 6 months, and people could start flying aboard the vehicle possibly by next year. Last year, SpaceX said they're sending Japanese billionaire Yusaku Maezawa and other artists around the moon sometime next year. Musk said his long-term vision is to send humans to the moon and to Mars to make humanity multiplanetary. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And singer Kanye West says he's done with secular rap and is going gospel. That's what he told a Chicago listening party on Saturday for his new album, Jesus is King, a Kanye West experience. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey. Welcome to Chef Bill's Table, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're here every Monday talking about food and anything related. Excited today, I have a guest, Nicole.
Hello.
Nicole, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Happy to help?
Happy to help, correct.
Okay, so I know we always talk about things food related. Nicole actually has another show on the radio, right?
Yeah, Happy to Help airs on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m., and it's all about giving back, volunteering, fundraising, anything related to helping others and giving back locally and globally.
And you also, along, well, last year we got awards for our shows, too, right?
Yes, we're the awardees.
So how does you brought in a cookbook today.
Yes.
That's how we're going to tie in with our theme here, Recipes Worth Reading. So how does a cookbook tie in with volunteering?
Well, almost a decade ago, I heard about Room to Read, which is a global nonprofit focused on literacy and gender equality in education in 16 countries. And I read the founder's book, John Wood, called Leaving Microsoft to Change the World. And they've done tremendous work, and they have these chapters all over the world. So a couple other moms and I started the New Jersey chapter, and the focus is to fundraise and raise awareness for global education because there's 800 million people in the world who cannot read.
Still.
Yeah, I know. It's great. We've made great strides, but there's still, you know, because we take literacy for granted here. Literacy is a luxury that we take for granted in the Western world, and the fact that girls are educated and go to school is another luxury we take for granted.
Yes, sir, really. The half the population in some of these countries is not allowed to go to school.
Correct. So for many reasons, this book drove me to volunteer. I've volunteered my entire life in some way, shape, or form, and this just grabbed me. My kids were getting a little bit older, and I had a little bit more free time, and I wanted to devote more time to volunteering. So I started with Room to Read, and the best thing about Room to Read was it enabled me to, and volunteering with this organization enabled me to build my skill set, because I'd been out of the workforce for 10 years already raising my kids, and I knew I wanted to get back in eventually. Mm-hmm. So it's allowed me to develop an entire new skill set and be creative and raise funds and have fun. And I don't get a paycheck, but I don't have the pressure either. So I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and all focused around Room to Read. So cooking for five children, I cook a lot. I go to cooking classes. I always love cooking. And I thought, well, hey, why don't we do one of those cookbooks? Because you did them for churches and people have done them. So I decided, actually my neighbor did one for our church. I'm like, hey, I could do that for Room to Read. So we curated 150 recipes from local chefs, moms, shops, and restaurants.
Oh, so you've got everything in there.
Everything.
Professional, non-professional.
Yes, exactly.
So is the purpose of the cookbook to raise funding or...
Correct.
Marketing, or
it's to raise funds for Room to Read, and that's why we called it Recipes Worth Reading. And so what we did, we just published our third edition, but the first edition I got a local renovate kitchens.
Okay.
So I approached the owners of that and said, hey, would you underwrite the printing of this cookbook so that we can sell them, and 100% of proceeds will go to Room to Read? And they said yes. So how many did we get? We got, I think, 200 copies that we had printed and sold all those for $25 each. Mm-hmm. And raised $5,000. And then we did it again a few years later. I got the Grape Escape out of New Jersey. They do make your own wine. And so they... Grape Escape, yeah. Yeah. They're in Dayton, New Jersey. And they do, you know, make your own wine. And
well, we have one right here, Grape Expectations.
Yeah, there's right? One here in Hunterdon as well. Yeah, and they... because I'm part of the Princeton Chamber of Commerce as well as the Hunterdon.
Okay.
So I met some Princeton folks, and he underwrote the second 200 copies. So we sold those. And now the third batch we just got like a month ago, and that was sponsored by AdTech, which is a tech company based in Princeton. And so we're going to launch this new batch of 200 cookbooks through an event we're having in a couple weeks, and an event through their office, and an event at Tiger Labs in Princeton. So we've got several, you know, it's a great holiday hostess gifts, because it's a gift that gives back and gives new recipes to people. And I even had some kids in there give me recipes, high school kids with their favorite smoothie.
Oh, so, and are you just reprinting the same
edition? Well, the second edition, we added 25 recipes from different Princeton restaurants and people because that was more that was where our sponsor was, and then we kind of expanded then. And then this new one only has one recipe from my friend Juan, who is from Vietnam, and she wrote an incredible book, and she was on my show called "Of Monkey Bridges and Banh Mi Sandwiches." So she didn't give me a banh mi sandwiches recipe, but she gave me a spring roll recipe. So I added her book and her recipe as the one addition to this cookbook, the third edition.
Wow. Yeah. So, and even I don't think people realize volunteering, but simply providing some recipes is volunteering.
Oh, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that was what
you have to take the time. You've got to write them out. I helped with one. Fleming Castle did one. And I had to kind of go through everything and make sure, because you need a certain format to submit to the publisher.
Well, they gave them to me, and then I put them into a software product out of a company in Iowa.
Right. Yeah, you've got everything's got to fit the categories.
Yeah, so I was the typing labor.
Yeah, I've done that.
I know. But I love to type, so it worked out well for me.
Yeah, we got involved, and I submitted some recipes, and it's, I mean, looking at them, sometimes you wonder, and you know how to cook.
Yeah,
and you look at the recipes like, is this really going to work? Because sometimes people just, they don't use a recipe. They just, but then, I have to write down what I do. And they don't, you know, so you can't test them like a regular.
Right. No, I had, and a lot of them were moms that, you know, they use this recipe over and over again for feeding their family, or the, you know, the professional chefs that already had them written down because they've got restaurants and kitchens and things. And so they had them.
We need standard. Yeah, we need recipes. So. Other people.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and there were a couple times, and I was personally connected with most people on through email and different things. So if I would go through the recipe, if I had a question, just email them and say, hey, you know, is this right? Or was it a typo? Or did I misunderstand? And because I got a couple from a gluten-free woman and like the stuff I'd never heard of that they were cooking with, because, you know, it's very specific to that type of cooking. So, but it was really fun.
Do you look for certain categories to fill, or are you just...
So what we did when we first did the cookbook, I think it was 2014, the Room to Read at that time was in 10 different countries. Mm-hmm. So I also solicited for the first recipe in each chapter. I reached out to different people that I'd known who traveled internationally or had connections, and I got a recipe for a native dish from that country, like using groundnuts or this or that, and from Zambia and from Vietnam and from Laos and different places. So I got that, Tanzania. So I got the first recipe just to make it fun and authentic. The first recipe in each chapter is a native dish from that country.
Okay.
And then the rest I just divided up into chapters. So there's soups and salads. There's one pot meals, which is my favorite. There's breads, there's desserts, there's salads, eating light. Yeah, so the rest of it's just your typical American palate.
Hold that thought. We have to break for a couple of sponsors here, and we'll be back at Sheffield's Table. Room to Read.
So awesome. I'm gonna get a picture.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The other angle here. I usually get all my guests.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon. the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sheffield's Table, Nicole from Happy to Help, Room to Read. So you're saying how you split it up for different nationalities. Do you publish in different languages?
No, actually, Room to Read does publish in different languages. So Room to Read, people don't realize, is one of the largest book publishers in the world because what they realized when they started to try to bring literacy to a lot of these countries, they were so poor, they didn't have any books in their native languages. So it's harder to learn to read when you don't even have any books to read from in your native language. So Room to Read started hosting writer and illustrator workshops in the local communities. So they lift up the local community by inviting local people that know the culture and the country and the parables and the history, and they create new books in the language so that the readers for little children so that they can learn how to read in their own country, and they publish them in country. So Room to Read's distributed over 20 million books that way, and that's consisted of over 1,000 new original titles in 35 different languages. So when I tell people that we create books in the native languages, it's not just taking all the Dr. Seuss books and translating them into, it's creating right. brand new books
new
with
content.
Stories
yeah.
and
yeah.
and that come alive and talk about their native country. And so that's just one of the aspects of Room to Read that's pretty innovative and exciting.
And of course, food is the universal language.
Yeah.
Everybody eats and everybody, you see similarities with the recipes sometimes from country to country even?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the products are similar. I mean, I always say that there's certain combinations that always work, right?
Right. Well, everybody's got their bread, right? Whether it's naan or French, a baguette or whatever. Right. Yeah. And everyone's got some form of stew, whether it's pho or beef stew or any kind of soup or stew, heartwarm. You know, fall is my favorite. So I make soup all winter long. I love soup.
Yeah. Soup makes the kitchen smell good, too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Something's simmering. I would say even if you're boiling water, you can tell something's going to happen. There's that steam in the air or whatever.
Stone soup, right?
Even cooking, stone.
Yeah. No, and that's the fun of it. Well, yeah, and every country now and every cuisine has some kind of fusion, right? You've got fusion going on all over the place. Like, why in Morocco is there French bread in Morocco? Because of different people moving there in the colonialism.
Well,
Well,
the Vietnamese, you know, has the French influence. They were colonies.
Yep.
You know, so, and this is where, I mean, unfortunately, you know, in the past, maybe that wasn't always a great thing.
Right.
But, well, it's our country, America. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at all the influences. What's truly American food?
Right.
What we call America. Everything came from somewhere. I mean, our Native Americans, of course, had, I mean, then finally people are exploring that, too, and realizing, but, you know, they were hunters and gatherers, though. You mm-hmm. know, they hadn't really domesticated the crops and things. I mean, they did teach the colonists how to plant, you know, and fertilize and stuff like that. But the Three Sisters, New Jersey, the corn and the pole beans and the squash.
Oh.
And those three things together give you a nice nutrition, but they all grow together.
Succotash.
So the corn stalk, the beans go up the corn stalk. Usually you have to train the vines. And then the squash, the leaves provide the cover so you don't get too much growth around the corn stalk. And the three all exist together, but then it just so happens that nutritionally, I think it provides a complete or almost complete protein
Oh, so nice.
That's cool. They call it Three Sisters.
I haven't heard that.
And they
to
taste
try
good
that.
Together. Yeah, it's squash and corn and beans. I mean, think of succotash.
Exactly.
Where
succotash.
From,
yep,
right?
Yep. Well, that's good. You can grow it all in one place, then you harvest it and throw it all in a pot.
Well, right. and I always, even doing wine tastings, people, how do you match things up? It's, well, usually what grows together goes together in nature, not something we've manipulated, but, yeah. You know, because we have now products that are grown everywhere because we know how to do it. Mm. But if something occurs naturally, you know, in the same region, I mean, it's, you know, there's somebody that kind of provided the roadmap for that for us, right?
Right, and it's also good to eat seasonally, wouldn't you agree? I mean, because everything ripens at different times, and if you use the seasonal ingredients, it's cheaper, it's fresher, it's more widely available, and you just, if you eat seasonally, that's a good guide if you want to try and start something new.
Yeah, and we've kind of killed that, too. There's very few things out there that are, soft-shell crabs are about the only thing left that really, they depend on that water temperature and salinity, and we don't harvest that blue crab, the soft, so they don't shed year-round. They've tried it with lobsters, but they try to do them in a controlled environment that doesn't work. So that's one of those items that you really have to wait for.
Yeah, yeah, but I also think that we're so lucky to live in New Jersey, where I always wait for the local farmers markets to open up, and I see what they have, what's fresh, what's available, what looks good this year, and we live in the Garden State for a reason, and I mean, it's called the Garden State for a reason, and so to take advantage of that, I definitely enjoy that a whole lot.
We do have, and I think Garden State also, horticulture, flowers are probably bigger than agriculture in New Jersey. But yeah, think of, you know, the first the blueberry were wild, and they were first domesticated in South Jersey. That's where it was developed. It was always, berries are always wilder on a bush or whatever. You know, hard to harvest, and they developed a strain that was, and farmers, you know, people, they talk about, you know, GMOs and things. I mean, farmers have always modified things. You know, you take good attributes from one and you cross-pollinate, let the bees do the work. Mm-hmm. Now we're doing it in the lab. Mm-hmm. That's what freaks people out. But, you know, the corn that we eat now started off looking more like wheat. Mm-hmm. Very small, not these big, nice kernels. It was the size of the wheat little leaves there.
Right.
But over centuries, it developed to that. So, and nature is always changing anyway. It changes itself. Evolution, things happen, but you know, we intervene and kind of speed things up a little bit too much. So
yes, and I always buy the local honey because that's supposed to help with allergies. I don't know if it's true or not, but I always enjoy buying local honey.
Yes, because they're the whatever fights things off is part of what's part of the environment that you're living in. Yeah, it's nice to do that, and again, most people, you know, once they like something, they want it all the time, and then we try to provide it as, you know, restaurants or chefs or even, you know, grocery stores, food producers. They want to, oh, people, you know, we always think, oh, if this is good and people like it, then more is going to be better. And there's no anticipation for that, things that come around. We always rush the seasons. You know, the pumpkin stuff comes out in the end of August now, and it's kind of weird. But so the effect, but your cookbook now, so I see it's a spiral bound.
Yeah.
Those are fairly easy to produce.
Yeah, no, I mean, since our goal was to make it a fundraiser, it doesn't have fancy pictures.
I have so many books that look like that.
But these are the best, right?
Well, I've gotten them, you know, obviously causes that I support. It's a nice way to do it. And I collect, I've probably got 400 cookbooks. So. But I have junior leagues. I've got, you know, all kinds of, I get them because you get a sense of what's going on in that part of the country.
Yeah, no, that's what I tell people, too. Even though we're all Americans and we all speak the same language, we've got a very widely varied cuisine. You know, you've got the Mexican
and then
you know, pizza here and bagels and things like that. But, it's a fun way. It's a great hostess gift because when my kids were little, we had different things. I always hosted a potluck, not because I was completely lazy, but I always liked the dishes people brought because it's like, oh, I've never had that. Or what's your go-to dish? And so it's always fun to try new things. And if you can't find the ingredients, I said one time we were making something with jicama and she's like, I don't know what jicama is. So, you know, it's a fun way to experience new ingredients and try new things. And so I kind of went from that idea of, you know, hosting a potluck and trying new things, and everyone makes one dish and you get to try things. And the fun thing about this is too, with a gift, is you can try different things out of this cookbook. You can pick a recipe. There's easy ones. There's, I've got a chef from the Bernard's Inn and a chef from, yeah, a chef from Asbury Park. What's her name? Marilyn Schlossbach. She owns several restaurants. So you can go from the basic to the super uber complicated high end from just this little book. And I pretty much personally curated almost every single recipe. So it's a wide variety of,
yeah. So you make sure you don't have, eight kinds of mac and cheese in there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, but again, that's one of those dishes. Everyone's got their own. I made it the one time recently with onions, cauliflower, roasted cauliflower, and broccoli, and the kids were not happy with me. But I thought it was delicious. So there's always...
But it's not mac and cheese.
Well, it was... I mean, it was a healthier mac and
pasta
cheese.
Pasta primavera.
Yeah, no, I know, but it was good. Well, it's got a lot of cheese in there, and then you can always throw some bacon in there. Bacon goes with everything, right? So, It's a fun and easy way, because I'm trying to – well, the other thing I wanted people to do with this cookbook is you could get this cookbook. We sell them for $25 at Just Jersey in Morristown. It's right on South Street there, and they have all these things curated from people in New Jersey. So whether it's clothing or pottery or anything, it's all – so they have one in Morristown, and they also have one in Montclair. And then I'm just going to start stocking the cookbook at a bookstore in Millburn called The Bookhouse. So Nadej is going to stock it there, and we used to stock it a couple places in Princeton. And so we're just selling it that way, or through word of mouth, or...
Well, it's hard to find books. Well, I guess there's still some small shops.
There are. I mean, New Jersey has probably more than most. And we hosted our first New Jersey book club with Room to Read at the Carnegie Library in Freehold a couple weeks ago with a local author who has been on my show, Nikki Stern. I also started a book club just to... raise more awareness for Room to Read, and we launched it in the Carnegie Library because John Wood, who started Room to Read, was inspired by Andrew Carnegie establishing 2,500 free public libraries in North America. Okay. Because 100 years ago, you and I wouldn't have been able to have access to books because there were no public libraries. It was only the rich and the powerful and the moneyed that were allowed to stock their private libraries, and they weren't accessible to everybody.
Libraries...
Yeah. It's huge. So Andrew Carnegie established the 2,500. So, you know, in Philadelphia and New York and New Jersey, there were 30-some public libraries, and the one in Freehold is the only one that bears the name Carnegie, and it's still standing. And there's a beautiful one in Bayonne that I haven't been to yet. But anyway, so John Wood wanted to emulate that model in the third world countries. And okay. So he's done that and then some. So I was inspired by Carnegie, inspired by John Wood, inspired by recipes. I just tell people, turn something you love into a fundraiser, and so I love to cook, and that's what I did.
Yeah, and with doing these, because I looked into self-publishing a number of years ago, and I guess the idea is if you get 200 recipes, you've probably got at least 200 books sold, because everybody that put a recipe in is going to want a copy.
True.
Here's my recipe.
True.
And there was a break-even point where, okay, this will pay for the publishing, and everything else after that is your profit. But you've managed to get the publishing under it, so you get 100%, which is, I think it's nice that people know that, too.
I'm very resourceful that way with
the
things.
The underwriters get credit, though.
They get on the back cover. So they get the full back cover is their design. And then I also need to give a shout-out to the inside back cover, who he's also been instrumental in helping us grow, is John Tompkins, and he is a retired Wall Street guy that opened a candy shop about a decade ago, and he makes caramels and chocolates. It's jtsconfections.com, and he gives pretty much 100% of everything he makes to charity, to veterans and the Summit Speech School. He was on my show in January of this year, and he's an amazing guy, super funny. I tell people, just sign up for his newsletter just to laugh, because he's a comedian. He's just so funny with all the stuff he does and the pictures and his comments, but he also makes amazing chocolate.
I was gonna say, if you're making candy, you got to be happy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So he makes chocolate-covered pretzels, chocolate-covered caramels, he makes caramels, and then he's got, like, coconut in there, and, I mean, everything you can imagine. Chocolate-covered strawberries on Valentine's Day, it's to die for. And he is actually going to supply chocolate for our breakfast coming up on October 11th, International Day of the Girl. We're having a giant breakfast in Basking Ridge to raise money for Room to Read Girls Education Program to keep girls in school. So what goes best with breakfast and bacon. Well, chocolate, of course. So he's going to go with some chocolate for that.
Yeah, chocolate's like champagne. You can have it any time.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I have a stash in my purse at all times.
All right, we're going to do a quick news break here. Give Nicole time to rest here. And we're going to find out more about these recipes and how you go about getting them. And, people maybe, so when they see... Maybe the listeners, when they see opportunities like this, they know that it's going to do something. And, it's fun, too.
Yep, super fun. Right.
You've been wrong. I watched you wrong. You know it's just your foolish man. Hey,
love. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A lawyer for the whistleblower whose complaint set off a House impeachment inquiry says President Trump's comments could put his client in danger. The whistleblower's legal team expressing concerns in a letter to the acting director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire, citing the president's call last week for the person who gave the whistleblower information to be publicly identified. Meanwhile, Republican Representative Doug Collins, who sits on the House Intelligence Committee, says the complaint from that whistleblower is being mischaracterized.
When if you look at the actual whistleblower complaint, this is not about involving abuse of an intelligence community issue. This is not about what whistleblowers normally use for. This is really a disagreement over policy, a disagreement over what they thought the tone was in a phone call. And when you look at the transcript, it was not there.
He spoke on Fox, and this is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Chef Bill's table here at WHCRDB, and we're talking about recipes worth reading. So have you tried any of the recipes out of the book?
Oh, of course. I made most of them. I mean, quite a bit. I mean, I supplied a lot, and then, I mean, not all of them. Maybe to be fair, I've probably done half. But I should also give a shout out to Jane's Kitchen. She provided some of the recipes, her amazing rolls. Jane's Kitchen does all organic. She's based in Ringo's, and she also lives down the street from me. But she does organic delivery to your house, janeskitchen.net. And she's been a big supporter of everything that I've done with Room to Read. And I always get her food. I give gift certificates for, especially when people have a new baby and you don't know what to get them meals. Because the mom, especially if she's nursing, she needs sustenance. So, sure. And she has different menu every week, but she also has always available items like chicken fingers and different things. And Jane's Kitchen is amazing. So she's got a recipe for rolls in there that I haven't tried yet. I just buy hers. So.
Right.
I know. I used to have stir fry phobia, and I've gotten through that. I make stir fry a lot for my kids for after school snack when I've got like leftover vegetables and rice, and then. I had a little bit of a yeast phobia, but I'm getting past that. I make bread a lot now. I make my own bread, which is pretty easy to do. So, I mean, I just try new things. And so what I want to encourage people to do is what would be fun, especially with soup weather. It's so easy to make soup. So I encourage people to gather a couple of your friends together. And if you've got a Monday afternoon, or even get the kids involved, but if you've got a Monday afternoon, just everybody bring all the stuff and make soup together. Chopping is very therapeutic. Make several pots of soup, get them on the stove, and then you've got dinner for a couple nights. And it's not going to go bad. It even gets better the longer it lasts. So
most soups, yeah, you don't sit overnight.
Yeah, chili,
yeah,
whatever.
Soup for dinner, I think what happens, as delicious as it is, people may... That might have that connotation of, not being well off. Let's say, like, being poor. I don't know if I use that word, but I think people say, when I didn't have any money, I had to have soup for dinner.
I know. Well, my mother-in-law used to joke about that because she's Italian, right? And yeah. She was a couple of years. She's like, polenta was the poor man's dinner, right? And now all of a sudden, a few years ago, polenta became gourmet.
Yeah, well, and people, of course, are tweaking it, but yes, it's a nice accompaniment to a lot of foods. You don't want to just do it's considered pasta, but it's with the cornmeal, and you want something gluten free, have polenta. And some of these things, the solution is right under our nose.
Right. Well, and then I think a couple years ago too, like the strawberry shortcake and all these blueberry cakes, they were making it with cornmeal. And they were delicious.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's always ways but you've got to start somewhere. I mean, I grew up eating SpaghettiOs because my mother hated to cook, and we didn't, hamburger helper and SpaghettiOs. That was the 70s basically. And so when my sister and I left home, we just kind of got intrigued with cooking on our own. And then I just started small, started following recipes, and then tried more recipes, then went to cooking classes. And then I've just enjoyed it. So
have you ever cooked professionally?
No. Oh my gosh. No. I get too stressed. So, I love doing it at home because my family, they're not going to sue me if it tastes bad. They'll just be like, well, anymore now they're all teenagers and they would rather have Chipotle any day of the week than home cooked meal. So whatever, that's the way it goes. But I still enjoy cooking. My husband likes my cooking, and he's pretty easy to please, so that's good. But I just encourage people. I know it takes a lot of time, and it's hard if you're working, but I also get kids involved. So I also volunteer for the soup kitchen, and so once a month we do the meatball ministry at my house, and I get 15 pounds of beef from Costco, and I have a group of kids, teenagers, come and help me make 250 meatballs to serve at the soup kitchen. And most of them never cooked before. They don't know how to use spices. I mean, I have just a standard recipe, and it uses oatmeal, another filler that they used to use in the olden days, right?
Yeah.
So we do that. It's a basic recipe, and they they crank out the meatballs, and we cook them, and then they feel good, and then some of them will come with me to the soup kitchen to serve as well. And it's just a fun thing, and a good way to expose kids to cooking.
Yeah, unfortunately, generations ago, you hung around in the kitchen. I always hung around the kitchen. My father said, well, you don't want to be too far from the food. That's why. So I would always help.
Yeah, good.
But I would usually have to do some of the shopping, the daily shopping. Mm-hmm. Back then, you went once a week for your staples, but the protein, the meat was, run down the street. But there was a butcher shop everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't have that. You've got to go, especially in the cities, you've got to go to, there's no big supermarkets. People are going to these little shops, but you can't, in a lot of towns, the business doesn't survive anymore. I had Roger and Bernadette in Clinton. They have the butcher shop up there. They've done very well. But, they've got to work hard, and you need it. A lot of people still want prepared meals, grab and go.
I know. I mean, and that's a great option, especially, like I said, Jane's Kitchen. It's all organic, and she drops it at your doorstep. Like, can't get any easier than that. But I also, I think in New Jersey we're lucky. We have Randazzo's and butcher shops and cookie shops and bakeries, and I get my beef from Riverbend Farm in PPAC, and it's all natural and organic, and I go buy, 20 pounds at a time, and just keep it in my freezer, and then I crank it out for making burgers or making chili. And then the other recipe that I love is, what's it called? It's like Asian meat and potatoes that I got from Caroline Campion, who is a Burnsville resident. And she had two amazing cookbooks. She used to work for, a bunch of big magazines in New York City, but she published the cookbook Keepers, and she was all over the country promoting it. It was amazing. And then a couple years later, they came out with The Dinner Plan, and now she's got a weekly column in the Burnsville News. So Caroline Campion, look her up. She helped me when I started with the cookbook project and gave me, allowed me to use one of the recipes from her published, nationally published cookbook in my cookbook. So shout out to Caroline. Yeah. So I just had so much fun, and it may be surprising that I like to talk to people. So I had fun striking up conversations with people and asking them for a recipe. Can you help me with a recipe? I'm not going to, you know, shake you down for money, but can you give me a recipe? And most were more than happy to help me with that.
And there's no issues with copyrights and things like that.
She got permission from her publisher.
Oh, she had to. Yeah,
so I wanted to clear it with her.
It's really the publishers that want it. It's not the authors.
No, I mean, I did, again, I was like, I don't know all that business and stuff, but I just, you know, I asked and said, you know, is it okay with you? And, yeah, it's so different things. But
yeah, I'm just, I'm wondering if there's any, like pitfalls that you have to get over, legal things. In case anybody out there listening, you know, thinking of, okay, this is volunteerism, I have an organization, maybe this would be a good fundraiser.
Yeah, well, I use this company called Cookbook Specialists out of Iowa, because I grew up in Iowa, so I was happy to support my hometown team.
Okay.
And they,
so you tie everything together.
I do.
You've always got like this
connections. I'm the connector. If you need anything.
Third level.
That's right. I am
helping.
The connector. I am the human connector. But anyway, so
impressive.
Yeah, oh, it's fun. I mean, again, it's just I found my niche.
Well, when you see everything tied together, too, like, oh, this can help this and this can, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely cross-promote all the time. Well, actually, I should also cross-promote. So The Grape Escape, who published our second cookbook in Dayton, we are now doing Room to Read Wine, believe it or not. So we are putting together a team, and go to our Room to Read New Jersey on Facebook. Instagram is Room to Read NJ. Twitter is Room to Read NJ. And we're going to make wine, Room to Read Wine, with Ed at The Grape Escape, and we're taking orders right now. So for an investment of $200, and a portion of which will go to Room to Read, you're going to get a case of wine at the end of the season, which is next, I think it's next fall or next spring. Because there's he gets grapes twice a year from different regions, and I think these grapes are coming from Northern California, I think. But he does this all the time. And so basically we're curating our grape selection right now. And you can, if you want to go to Dayton and help crush the wine and bottle the wine and press the wine, there's three or four meetings that where they do the different pieces of creating the wine. And
yeah, those are the good little get-togethers.
Yes, exactly. And his space is gorgeous. Oh my gosh.
Night out or whatever.
Yeah. His space is gorgeous. So we're doing our own little Room to Read Wine team. And so it's just a one-time $200 donation. So a couple could come together and with their $200, and you can participate as much as you want in the process, and we'll schedule that. Or you can just say, I love the cause, I love wine, but I don't have time to get to all those meetings, but I'll take the wine.
Interesting. It's funny how wine, wine can always, even if you don't want the food, the wine is, I would never thought of that people like wine. It goes with the food.
And it goes with book club. Wine goes with book club. So Room to Read Wine, supporting literacy, goes with book club. So if you have a book club and if you have 10 people in your book club, you know, everybody chip in $20 and you've got Room to Read Wine for your book club, and you can bring it out every time you get together to read a book. So go to Room to Read New Jersey on Facebook, and we got the link there. I posted it last week, I think, and it's an Eventbrite. If you go on Eventbrite, is where the tickets are to get your Room to Read case of wine.
Interesting. I like to do both. I like wine and I like to read. I never knew the book clubs.
And you like to cook.
I never knew the book clubs. That was a
it's a thing. It's a thing.
All right.
Yeah. I'm a more of a beer person, but wine goes well with book clubs.
All right. We've got a break for a couple of messages. We're going to be back and continue on. Very interesting topic.
You say I'm spending my money on other women. You're taking money from someone else.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Get it at barnesandnoble.com. So if you type in recipes worth reading, it should pop up. And that's for getting it online. That's for an online copy, a digital copy. Yes. Okay. So that's, I think it sells for like $10. So if you want to, if you're curious to look at it, you can look at it there. Otherwise with the hard copy, we sell it for $25 and 100% of proceeds go to Room to Read. And we've, just basically sold it through word of mouth. But if you email me, my email is rtrnicolesmith@gmail.com. So rtrnicolesmith@gmail.com. And I can get you a copy. I can mail you a copy. If you make a donation online, there's a link I can send you to make a donation online and you can get a copy and invite your friends. I encourage people to have a destination dinner where you invite people together to talk about Room to Read and everybody makes a potluck dish from the cookbook. Again, they make great hostess gifts. I had some people buy 10 at a time to give to their friends for the holidays for hostess gifts.
It's always nice. Something like this, it's portable, it stores easy, it doesn't spoil. It's timeless, it's content.
Yes.
And, yeah, you get last-minute call to show up somewhere, and sometimes, you don't bring a bottle of wine. Maybe the people don't drink or you don't know what they like.
Right.
But something like this, I say, I have tons of these little... I've got them from museums.
Yep.
You know, you visit there and you're selling a cookbook. I guess I'm a junkie for it.
Well, of course. You know, I'm a cookbook junkie.
I mean, some of us, I used to buy a book just for one or two recipes.
Yeah, me too. I've got a whole, floor to ceiling shelf.
A record album. Yeah. If more than two songs you like, you spend the money
yes.
on the album, right?
Good analogy, yes.
Yeah. I know everything's online, but... Somehow, you search online, and there's a lot of when everything's quote free, there's a lot of junk out there too.
Yeah, and I still go to the internet for the basics, I'm gonna throw some chicken wings in and bake those, stuff that I forget or I haven't made it enough,
quantities or oven time or whatever.
Yeah, I just get a reference point. But these are fun to make, and you can and it's very whimsical, the cover, so it really covers all ages. So whether you're an experienced cook or chef, you can take something from it, or if you're just a teenager that's starving and you want to make a smoothie or make something simple, then you can use it to do that. So
So is there another edition in the works where you have new recipes?
Possibly. It was time intensive to get, because I could get people to agree to the recipes and they were very helpful, but I had to do a lot of follow up, sometimes three times showing up and emailing, which, you know, because people are busy and I understand that, but it was a lot of work. And so I'm just capitalizing on my effort and just, you know, recirculating, because a lot of people didn't. I target new audiences each time too, so that's good. And you know, I've got the standards with the short story, or not short stories, the Just Jersey store. And but I do want to give a shout out for our Room to Read breakfast coming up in a week from this Friday on October 11th at the Delta Hotel in Basking Ridge on 80 Allen Road. We're having Fran Hauser, who had the number one business book on Audible last year for 2018, and it's called The Myth of the Nice Girl. So she talks about how she built her entire career as a media executive in New York on being authentic and being nice instead of, like, kicking people on her way up.
Oh,
and, yeah, so she's we're excited to have her, and we're going to be selling her book at the event and also the cookbook at the event, of course. And it makes a great gift. It's very portable, like you said. It was just a really fun project. Got a lot of people involved, and it's very useful for anybody wanting to. And all of our funds right now are going to the girls' education program with Room to Read, because girls in many countries, they have to stop going to school when they're about 12 because they have to get married, they get trafficked, or they have to get a job to feed their family because they're forced to stay home and cook and clean and take care of everybody. And they feel like women are not worthy of education.
I'd say that half the mental capital in the world is, you know,
right. And Room to Read, exactly. And Room to Read is changing that. So they put 90,000 girls through secondary school so far, and they constantly are helping. And because statistics show that if you educate a girl, you completely break the cycle of poverty, and it also helps the environment and climate change, because women who are educated will marry later, have fewer children, be less likely to die in childbirth, and will educate those children and invest back in their community. So it's a win-win-win.
Starting later is better.
Oh, yes, of course, because if you're having a baby at 13, there's not really a big chance you're going to survive. So,
the die is cast for the rest of your life.
Exactly, yes.
You're right. That's how it perpetuates itself. And I've always thought that the education is the key, and a lot of governments don't want their people to be educated, because
exactly.
Then they can figure out they're getting scammed.
I know. Well, if you think about the Nazis or the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, who did they execute first? All the educated people. That's who they started with.
You control the press, and you control no education. Just do what I'm telling you and be happy with that. But that's probably, here, and we struggle with it in this country, trying to fund the schools and make sure everybody gets a chance.
I know.
I teach for Raritan Valley Community College, and student services over there. I mean, there's people going to college now that never, 20 years ago, wouldn't have had a chance.
I know, and college is great if you can get there, and it offers so much, but trade schools are equally as important. Like, my dad went to trade school, and he had a wonderful career, and he wasn't a bookworm. He was a practical, tactical, mechanical engineer, and so I think part of the problem is figuring out what you want to do before you get in debt.
You're hitting it right at the core of reading. If you can't read,
then you're SOL.
You can't learn anything.
Exactly. Reading is the fundamental skill that applies everywhere, no matter what you do or where you go. Yes.
Yeah. So, and this book wouldn't be sold in some of the other countries that.
No, because we're strictly fundraising here, and it's for a fundraiser. And what was I going to say? Ooh. So, it's a great and there's book recommendations in there. So I got recipe recommendations for people, I also got what's your favorite book. So there's plenty of book recommendations in there, too, if you want to think about expanding your reading genre. There's a lot of fun books in here, too. So a book and a recipe.
What Amazon? If you
So if you like to cook this, maybe you'll like to read this. But it was just from the person. I always said, "Can you give me a recipe?" And I'll also, what's the favorite book you ever read? Like one by Eleanor Roosevelt, and then Juan had her own book that she wrote, and I mean, just all kinds of random book recommendations in there.
So there's more than just recipes.
Yes, there's books. I forgot. Yes, exactly. So you
always got that next level.
Exactly. Yes. And then if anybody has their own fundraiser that they're doing, what I do is I also do cooking baskets where for other people having a gala or a golf outing, I put the Recipes Worth Reading cookbook in there and like either cooking utensils or different fun things that I find, and I create a basket and then I help spread the word that way.
Yeah, we did when my son just got married this past June. Oh. And, you know, provide we did the
catering,
the rehearsal dinner.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. is imposing new sanctions on Russia over interference in the 2018 midterm elections. A statement from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying that four Russian entities and seven individuals are being targeted, including a Russian oligarch. Pompeo says the U.S., quote, will not tolerate foreign interference in elections. Presidential son Eric Trump says since an impeachment inquiry was launched against his dad a few days ago, his dad's been doing pretty well in the fundraising department.
In the first 72 hours since the impeachment came up, my father raised $15 million in small dollar donations, 50,000 new donors who had never donated to a political campaign ever before. I mean, people are rallying behind this. They see it for what it is.
The younger Trump speaking there on Fox News, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
Three of four inmates who escaped an Ohio jail are back in custody found in North Carolina. The four men were being held in the Galena County Jail when they overpowered two female corrections officers and escaped just after midnight Sunday. Police still searching for one escapee, Lawrence Lee. They believe he could be dangerous. The Democratic head of the House Intelligence Panel says he's planning to subpoena Rudy Giuliani as the committee investigates the Trump-Ukraine controversy. Congressman Adam Schiff telling 60 Minutes on CBS that they need the evidence from President Trump's personal lawyer. Giuliani has been linked to efforts to press Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Giuliani told 60 Minutes yesterday he only did what he was asked to do.
I did not do this on my own. I did it at the request of the State Department. And I have all of the text messages to prove it. And I also have a thank you from them for doing a good job.
And this is USA Radio News.
Friends, the radio listener special is still going on at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one MyPillow premium pillows. Savings on Giza Dreams bed sheets, mattress toppers, go anywhere MyPillows. And, of course, body pillows. If you're a side sleeper, you need that. If you've got a dog you love, they have great dog beds. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Now a special report as doctors nationwide are seeing a sharp rise in teen depression and suicide rates. USA Radio's Robin Walensky reports that a psychologist in Georgia says it's clear social media is playing a role in this.
The suicide is a result of the increase in teen depression.
Dr. Maggie Fox with Kaiser Permanente in Alpharetta, Georgia, says depression and suicide rates rising sharply in teens ages 14 to 17 across the U.S.
The rate of teen depression is increasing all over the country.
Dr. Fox says there are three major categories parents need to pay attention to when your teenage son or teenage daughter starts displaying depressive behavior.
Isolation, irritability, and fatigue. An example of the isolation is when they stop hanging out with their friends on weekends, having their earbuds in whenever they're around family, or they're in their room or on their gaming console constantly.
Dr. Fox blames social media and says teens, like adults, need a break from it all.
There's no quiet time in their heads. Everything is public. Social media, grades, violence, it's all being pinged to them on their phone all day long. And their mind has no quiet time.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
Just learning that Texas Republican Congressman Mac Thornberry's just announced that he won't be seeking re-election.